Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 567. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
What's up, man? How was shopping today?
Busy.
Bring it full circle.
Busy, hectic, and holy shit, there are people that just... they have no concept of what 6 foot is. Just...
no, and neither do the people who put those signs down either, by the way. Have you noticed that?
I don't know. They're better than the actual people in the stores. The people in the actual people in the stores think 6 inches is 6 foot. So at least the people that are measuring the tape off spots, I know that that's more than a foot.
Yeah. Okay. One, people, of course, I'm not going to. But remember we were talking about doing math earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Like, expecting the people who work there to do math. Okay, so there's QT, which is like a... I don't remember. What are, like, little...
Marshall?
Shops up there. Okay. But, so basically, it's a... like, of course, everyone's got their social distancing stuff branded now. So it's in all the QT colors and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have squares on the ground that say 6 feet. Okay. So, and you're always siphoned into one place to stand in line. 6 feet, like, I'm 6 foot one. No, I'm 6 foot two. There's a three. Whatever. I'm over 6 foot tall. Doesn't matter. I see the square, and I see the next one. If I lay down, that square is going to come to my waist. So, just because you put 6 feet in a square on the ground, doesn't make it 6 feet. And it's not from 6 feet from you to the counter, because there's another square that says 6 feet in front of the counter.
Well, so like, yeah, I keep on laughing a little bit. I guess I feel like they're close to 6 foot, but the squares and or circles are so large. It's like, are you measuring that exactly from center line to center line? It's possible, but then when the square is like a foot by a foot or something like that, people are automatically going to start chewing into that space.
Yeah.
Like,
go ahead.
The stores just aren't set up for any of this stuff.
No, none of them are.
It is really the main problem.
Do you have people wearing masks on their chin? Or, like, with their mouth covered but the nose exposed? Have you got those people?
I have seen a number of those people. Well,
that
it's,
cracks me up.
It's kind of weird. Like, there's a... it's like 1 week I feel like I see a lot of people with masks on, and then the next week when I go out for groceries, I don't see that many people on with masks on, and it hasn't really been terribly consistent, what I see. Today really wasn't too bad.
I've noticed masks have gone up around here, and I'm very thankful for that, because that means I don't have to wear one. So I'm looking at it that way. The more other people wear it, the less I have to. So works out for me pretty well.
It helped that my sister-in-law made a couple for us.
Yeah.
But... B, I take that, the people that I see in my rearview mirror when I'm driving with the mask on, I'm like, take that shit off, you're just in your car.
Yeah, well, that's, okay, those are the people I wish they would put it over their eyes while they're driving, and would just drive into a telephone pole. Do us all a favor. Enough of you. There's no need for you. The other one is, and I see this a lot too, a car full of people and the driver has a mask on with the windows down. You know what? If you're all related, same theory. Right into a telephone pole. Some of you survive. You were tough enough to do it. Hopefully you're smart enough to realize, I have my seatbelt on. That's all I needed anyways inside the car. But yeah, the mask drives the least nuts, because I always get mad. I'm like, look at this fucking idiot.
Yeah, I don't get mad, really, but I just look up and I go, why? Like, I get it. It's not comfortable. I completely understand. You know what? I don't need it in my car. I'll put it on for the however long it takes me to run into a store, and then that thing is off the moment I get out of a store. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. No, my mom made us masks. God bless her. Mine's been on top of the fridge since I got it. And she don't listen to the show anyway, so it's whatever. But I put it on, and I go, I'm supposed to wear this in public? And I know it's not a vanity thing. Believe me, am I going to worry about that anyways? But I don't know. I just haven't been able to bring myself to wearing it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the one thing on, I can't, it was probably back when this whole thing started to really break big, where a couple of weeks into it, Ken and I on OPA were talking about how it doesn't really, wearing that does not stop you from getting it. But it does prevent you from spreading it.
Yeah. I'm okay spreading it. Let's thin this herd out. Like I said, we got people driving with masks on in the car. Yeah, do they need to be around? Exactly. No, the answer is no. It's okay. No, they don't. we're not losing anyone important so far. We lost anyone important? No. No.
Well, at least not to that. I do know that the one guy, the one researcher in Pittsburgh, was part of, right now, an apparent murder-suicide, and he was working on a vaccine for, the coronavirus, and supposedly was getting somewhere.
So he got murdered?
Yeah, he was the murderer, and whoever did the murdering was the suicide.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping it was the other way. He's like, you know what? I almost got this thing beat. Fuck all y'all. He takes somebody out with him. in a weird twist.
No, that was not the twist.
This shit's got to come to an end soon. Because I'm always pretty aggressive anyways. I'm just getting to be insufferable. Like not being able to go to the gym. You can only do so much at home. Everything annoys the shit out of me right now. So I'm gonna, like, yesterday, oh boy, that was a bad time to do a show. So that's specifically why I said, no, I didn't want to do one yesterday, because it was gonna be ugly. But, well, so the idea of a guy coming up with a vaccine, and then killing someone, and then himself without finishing it, is high comedy to me. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah, I've actually felt pretty good about the gym at home thing. I think I already said that I'm, and I don't know if I said it when we were recording here or not, but I'm ready to get rid of my gym membership. Because, yeah, that's $45 a month that I don't really need to spend. Because, you know, the one thing I was always interested, like my gym membership came with classes, but the problem with classes is that there are times.
Yeah.
And
class space too.
Well, and that's going to change things definitely, is class spacing and classes. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Just like, nah, I don't want to get here. Like, it's like, oh, we have a class at 6 a.m. or we have one at 4 p.m. And I'm like, no, both of these times are fucking trash. Like, bite me. Yeah. And it's been kind of nice to be able to do, I'd always wanted to get into yoga at some point, but, you know, again, like, it was always like a trash time. Because even the 5 o'clock times, I've always had a hard time leaving my office, whichever one, at 5 on the button. Yeah. Well, that and when a class is at 5 o'clock, you need to leave the office at latest, like 15 minutes prior to that.
Yeah. Well, you also it's also rushing to get to a yoga class. Oh. Isn't exactly, you know, being all stressed out by the time you get to a yoga class
de-stress.
Helping. Yeah. Yeah. No, I told you before, I got that DDP yoga stuff. That shit's tough, man. And then I'll do the stuff at the gym on Sundays. It's tough. But no, it's like, well, you and I do totally different workouts anyways. And it's not like I can do what I do at the gym at home. I mean, I don't have the space for it. You've seen the house. And just, I just, I, I'm really looking forward to getting back in there, but I am absolutely dreading, like, what I'm going to feel like the day after. And I'm also going to dread the amount of weight I'm going to be able to lift, because I know that's going to go down, and I'm going to be pissed off all over again. So,
channel your
inner. I'm 46 years old. I shouldn't be lifting what I'm lifting anyways, but I can, so I do. I mean, that's the whole philosophy of it. But
yeah,
whatever. So I'm just ready. I mean, I know it's very selfish to say it this way. I'm ready for this to be done. Damn it all. If some people have to go, some people gotta go. Yeah.
A lot of people have gone already.
Yeah, not enough. Statistically, no. Statistically, not even a percent of the world's population is dead. So we got places to get to.
Oh, no, it's not quite a million yet. It was over 600,000, I believe, the last world count that I saw.
Yeah, I'm like, in the world. Let's go. If we're going to start having mass death, let's just get this shit over with. Let's bump that figure up to 10 million by the end of July. And then I'll be like, all right, cool. We done?
Yeah. I don't think it's going to bump up that high that quickly.
That's what I'm getting at.
It will. It's definitely going to bump up with all these ass clowns that are calling for stuff to open. Opening.
See, I think you and I have a different view on this, obviously. And I'm trying to joke around with it. But it's like, I'll be very curious to see what happens with Georgia and South Carolina. Well, South Carolina's not opened up everything totally. But Georgia, are they like everything open?
Oh, probably.
Let me make sure I get this. Okay, so we're going to base everything off the premise that everything in Georgia is open. So you can have the Falcons can play, and you're allowed to go to the Mercedes-Benz Dome, all that stuff, right? That's the premise of this. So if it's wrong, whatever. I'm going to be very curious to see what happens. If everything is at full capacity, and now testing for cases is different than people dying and different than people actually like showing symptoms. I'm going to be very curious if they're doing this, and people are actually going out, or even not going out, to see how it either explodes the way they say it could, or if it just kind of goes, this is a very, very underwhelming figure compared to what we were expecting.
Am I
making sense on that?
Yeah, I do love that people are like, oh, this is underwhelming already, and it's just like, someone mentioned it. People were all worried about 300 people dying on 9/11, but 1,200 people have died in the state of Ohio, just the state of Ohio. And everyone's like, fuck it. Let's open things back up. 1,200 people. Like, you're already saying it's not enough people. Like, I do understand that these are completely different kind of methods of dying and all, but like the totals are still pretty decent. And I mean, I mean you look at, and I'm not surprised, you see the asshat Italians dying left and right, and it's just like, oh yeah, I'm not surprised that they're being a bunch of assholes too.
Yeah, but I don't know the Italian total, but I'm still going to guarantee you it's not even 1% of their population. That's what I'm getting at. Like, and I know that, like, I know when you're talking about death and that, you can't exactly put, like, what's okay or what's not. I mean, dead's dead. I get it. But when we're saying, and I know, I'm not getting on you, by the way. I'm just saying, like, for the sake of this, saying that they're dying left and right, they're not. Like we have 600 deaths in North Carolina. That's 0.0001% of the people in this state. It's not even 1%. It's not even a tenth of a percent.
Our county is the most infected in Ohio.
Yeah.
But it's still only 3,000 some odd people, and there's probably like 3 million people in the county or something in that area. So, yeah, I don't know, because I know, obviously, that isn't a tenth. It's more like a, a tenth of a percent or something like that.
Yeah. So it's like, I always, and we all do it. That's why I'm making this very clear. I'm not getting on you. And I'm not getting on, well, the people we should get on are media types, politicians, advertisers, which I know you haven't been watching too much TV, but we got to talk about that in a second.
But you have
to watch the language in this. Normal people, whatever. And that's why it's nice to have conversations between people who know each other, and then even like polite conversations between strangers. Not blowing out facts that you read on Facebook or whatever else, but like doing your own research, finding your own stuff. Because I'll look up something and go, wow, that sucks. Like, or I'm like, well, see, I told you it wasn't that bad. And then you go and look, and like, oh, okay. I either misread it or whatever. Just like that. It's nice to have a discourse between people, which, man, if it wasn't for this show and the fact that I like posting pictures on Facebook, I wouldn't have that thing anymore.
Oh.
It is absolutely worthless. I understand why all the young kids ditched it. Because if you look, there are no young kids on that thing.
It's most of the people our age or older. And because, like, I know that my wife was always a little annoyed that she didn't get to talk to her nieces that much. But then she realized that they're using the Snapchat all the time. And now she's talking to them, like, almost daily at this point.
Okay. See, I thought Snapchat went away.
No, evidently, because they're both, the one is 16, and the other is 15. She'll turn 15 here in like a couple of weeks or something like that. So they're in that, you know, definitely in the high school area there, or age range. And yeah, evidently it's still getting used.
I always thought that was just for hookups, but their age group, she may not want to hear that, but
we've gotten enough updates on their dating and who they're dating that I don't know if they're using it for that necessarily or not, but they certainly seem to have a handle on boys liking them.
So anyways, to get back to what we were saying,
percentages of people dying.
Yeah, and like language and all that.
Language and commercials. Whatever.
But then, yes, this is so important to me. I know you haven't watched a lot of TV, right?
You would think for someone who's unemployed.
Dude, yeah. I was watching one, and the I couldn't figure out what it was. And I missed part of the commercial because it had like text. It was like pictures of like, we're doing our best. We're doing this for you. Overcome this. And I'm like, the hell is this? And he goes, this isn't. And then a thing comes out and goes, this isn't about branding. And I went, okay, what is this? And then it goes, blah, blah, blah. And at the end,
it's
the Frito-Lay symbol comes up.
Yeah.
And I went, what? What the fuck are you doing? And then I saw it again, and I saw like where it said, you know, Frito-Lay's doing this. I'm going, this is all about branding. That's all you're doing. I know I made fun of it last show, but it's getting worse.
Oh.
I mean, everybody's got one now. Every insurance, every bank, like companies. I saw one for Aldi. I don't know if you guys have those up there.
Yeah, we do.
There's one for Aldi. And it's like, okay, wait a minute. You're bragging about your stores being clean now. Anyone else see the problem with them bragging about how their stores are clean now?
I have had that problem from the jump. Yeah. It's just like, oh, because like that first week after they shut everything down, like everyone that was open was emailing me, hey, we're cleaning our stores now. And I'm just like, So you're just straight up acknowledging that you weren't cleaning your stuff. Like, I know that they were doing some cleaning, but it's just like everyone should have been familiar with the fact that stores cleaning was subpar.
Yeah. You just accept it. Like, it was just part of it. And it's like, okay. And now, like, we're extra clean. I'm like, you know, if the restaurant's saying that, I'm like, you guys, your food better not change. I mean, there's a certain thing to be said. Like, I always say fair food tastes the best because it's outside in the dirt. Dirt and wind. It always tastes better. Like my biggest example of that is a gyro or souvlaki or something like that at a Greek festival. You get it at a restaurant, it's never going to be as good as it is at a Greek festival where they've got the lamb on the spit, you got air blowing through, people walking by, dirt, whatever else. Everything blows on the stuff. I don't know. And that cures it, seasons it, I guess would be probably the word. It seasons it to a degree that even the people who made it, who have that recipe down pat, don't understand. And it just always tastes better. Always tastes better. No. Exactly. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't been to a fair in quite some time, so I cannot speak to the... Although I did go to an outdoor Greek festival, and their baklava was quite tasty.
Yeah, that's because it's out. Plus, like, Greek festivals, like, I don't know, the Greek population of this country can't be really big. I mean, I know they've got, like, generations, because we went to the one in Greenville, which was the weirdest thing to me. They had a gigantic Greek population in Greenville, South Carolina. Sure. Why? Well, no one knows. That's still one of the things that fascinates me about our country. And I mean this in a very positive way. And I think I've told you this, or I've mentioned this when we watch stuff. Like, there's a huge Greek population in Charlotte. And Charlotte's always a bit bigger than Greenville. But then my buddy Alan, he's Mexican. And he lived in Milwaukee. And I was like, shut the fuck up. There's no Mexicans in Milwaukee. He said it's one of the largest populations of Mexicans in the country. Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in Wisconsin, everybody, just in case you didn't know.
Well, and
I went, what? I don't know anything about Milwaukee other than the Brewers are there. And, yeah, the Bucks, the basketball team, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, that movie?
Wayne's World?
Yeah, thank you. That's where they went to go see Alice Cooper. Those are the three things I know about Milwaukee.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about Milwaukee either. It's in Wisconsin.
Yeah. It's on the way to Chicago. If you're coming down from the top of Wisconsin, I don't even know where it is in Wisconsin. And I've been to Wisconsin before, a couple times.
It's
the whole part of the world. Who cares? Just bad because I have a lot of relatives up there. But, well, I was going to throw Iowa in there as well, but, you know.
I guess that's – I was thinking, like, I guess we had probably heard about it by that point. About the large Iraqi population in is it Dearborn?
Oh yeah. Well, it's not just Iraqi, but they're a big part of it. Yeah. But it is Middle Eastern.
Because yes. Like that was one thing. Kid, yes. Yeah, when we went up to that WrestleMania 23.
Yeah.
It's Detroit. Yeah. Like I remember going into the mall nearby and they had signs in Arabic and I'm like,
yeah, Fairland.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Like, this is how serious it is.
Okay, in a way, that makes sense because Henry Ford, like, Ford's there.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know how this is going to sound, but I've never really put Middle Easterners in an assembly line, like, factory work.
Oh.
It's always, like, all the videos or movies you've seen or, like, documentaries, it's always Blacks, Irish, Polish... I guess those would be whites. But then, you know, a smattering of Asian descent here and there. But Middle Eastern, no. So, and I've never looked into this, but I don't understand what attracted a group to, like, Dearborn, Michigan? And obviously, like, afterwards, I understand why it's so populated now, because people come to this country and they go where their people are. That's what my grandparents did. They were all Polacks up in Wisconsin. So I've just always been curious about that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how and why? And there's always, like, there's a ton of Chinese people in Atlanta. Huh?
Oh.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know, because that's it. Yeah, I know that there's, I'm not sure why a lot of Somali people moved to Columbus for reasons.
Minneapolis is a big place for Somalis as well.
I'm just like, oh, okay. And then even, yeah, you're talking about the Asian population. I guess I was always surprised, like, the area town that we used to live in, like, our roommate Kevin is still bummed because his favorite Chinese markets are on that side of town, and we're, like, on almost the complete opposite side of town now. And he is, if no one knows, actually Chinese. So, you know, he gets a lot of ingredients that I cannot pronunciate. I know what they are, but I could not read the writing on them whatsoever.
Is this where we start talking about how it's all, like, bull testicles and bull penis and that stuff? I've seen The Golden Child. I know how this works.
Thankfully, he doesn't eat anything like that.
No, it's just, it's always fascinating because, like, even I don't know why, like, my grandparents' parents went to Wisconsin.
Oh.
They're from Poland. I mean, why Wisconsin? I guess it's in the middle of nowhere. I don't know. Like, it's just an interesting thing to me that I've never gone anywhere with, because there's always a practical reason.
Oh, but yeah, and you even wonder, like, because I know that, like, my dad's mom's family all came over from Italy, and I don't know why they ended up picking Pittsburgh as the destination. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
Pittsburgh has industry, though, and
but if you have to come in through New York, past Philadelphia,
yeah,
you have an option to go to Boston, I would think. Like, I mean, if you're going to some large, you know, just any large city center that probably has a lot of jobs, like, there are other places to stop along the line other than Pittsburgh, I guess, that it's just like, even that, yeah, it would have been busy at the time that they moved over here. So it does, you know, like, I'm not surprised they found a job there necessarily. It's more of, why did it get picked? You know, kind of the same question. Like, why did it end up being Pittsburgh instead of Philly? They could have stopped in Altoona, where I grew up, for all I, you know, if they were just working on the railroad, they could have gotten a job in Altoona.
Yeah, I just, like, I think my, would it be great grandparents? Yes, my great grandparents. Wait, is that right? Yeah. They came over here, I think, before World War I, or right as it was starting. Like, they were escaping.
Oh, well,
so,
yeah.
So, yeah, they wanted out, because my grandfather fought in World War II, so. But, yeah, like, the reasons don't matter. It's always the whys. Like, why here?
Yeah.
Like, cause even when we were in Des Moines, like, I'm like, why the hell doesn't anyone live here? And I'm like, oh, because I guess they lived here because there was a river. And
why is there the famous, we were just talking about the other day, Fong's Pizza, actually run by Chinese people? Like, they have a Chinese pizza parlor in the middle of Des Moines, Iowa.
I'm such a fucking idiot. Is it really owned by Chinese people?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a cool name.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I guess we could ask Eric, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm gonna err on your judgment on this one. So yeah, you're probably totally right. So, yeah, that's right. Never mind. That's right. There was a guy.
Yeah, there's, because, yeah, like, similar to your family, I know that at least my maternal grandparents, they were getting away from Mussolini. So I know that part, but I don't know the other part, like,
well,
why they picked Pittsburgh exactly, but.
Yeah, mean, I understand the wise people leave. That's for sure. Because it's crazy. It really is crazy that we take advantage. Wow, this weird how we got on this, whatever. But it is funny. It's not funny to me because it's actually kind of sad because it's just people who don't know. But it's like there are so many different cultures of people. Not even like similar looking or like whatever. But like there's so many different cultures in this country that to think that like, there's one culture here, like there's the American way or there's the American dream, and this is like it's different for everybody. And like not one's better than another, not one's right. It's just it's always different. So it's just it's so funny when I hear like these platitudes people put out about like what this country is and the speak English thing. Because I grew up with a bunch of people speaking Polish. And you know how much of that stuck? kielbasa. There we go. That's it. So we're the dumb ones. We only know one language. So
I'm not going to get into that part. There's other stuff. Because like the maternal grandparents, they're just like, oh, I heard Italians get treated poorly, so we're all going to learn English and pretend that we're American just from the jump.
That's what I think my great grandparents did too. They wanted to come over. I think theirs might have been more to blend in, but to fit in. But then you move to an entire community of people who speak the same language. It's kind of like how Mexican people do it now.
Well, yeah, and that's what kind of cracks me up. I'm like, you're living with a bunch of other Goombas. Like, someone's not going to figure out that you're Italian?
Yes.
Like, really?
Yeah, with your darker skin, black, jet black hair. Your gold chains. We're gonna know.
You're only going to the Italian market in yes. Pittsburgh instead you're of the Polish.
Talking with your hands in an outward motion. Oh, that's why. As much as I hate it here, there's so much to love, but then it just gets on your nerves after a while, to where you're like. Everyone thinks we're all supposed to be the same, and it's like, no, that's the joy of this. I don't look down on people. Like I told Shahid, my posture's terrible. He goes, yeah, that's because you're always looking down on people. I'm like, I guess I'm going to have bad posture the rest of my life then. But I'm not going
to as if he's anyone to talk in that department.
Oh, shit. Mr. Facebook, I can't wait to do we watch stuff again. He's working weird shifts now, so that shows probably every other week until this stuff ends. But like he was doing three on, three off, four on, four off. Then he was doing now he's doing overnight, and it's like, goddamn, I have a very hard time keeping up with the schedule. And then he'll post something on Instagram, and he's like heading home, and I'm like. Oh, and then you see it's like 6 at night, he's heading home. Okay, and then the other one is heading home, it's 6 in the morning. Like, oh, all right, no show today, so.
Yeah, I've kind of felt bad because he's like, I haven't seen wrestling since WrestleMania. And I'm like, I can't really have you on a wrestling show then? But of course, we're doing a wrestling show and we've just... blown up half an hour without talking about wrestling. So.
Yeah, well, that's how Stunt Granny started anyways. when it was the other show. I'm not doing this on purpose. The audio experience.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just drew a blank. But I think Eric and I did a show. Was it Dustin, Eric, and I did a show. It was like 30 minutes on the Lenny Lane wrestling cruise.
Oh, well, only 30 minutes?
Yeah, I was like, okay, and I think that's when we found out that Eric's picture was used for the
rapist. Something.
Yeah, and which is hilarious. But now you really think about like, oh, that's fucked up, man.
Oh yeah, completely.
I couldn't stop laughing though. He probably doesn't find it as funny as I did because it wasn't me. So. But, yeah, no, she did say he hasn't watched wrestling, and I told him, I'm like, I don't blame you. Like, we've watched Are you watching Dark Side of the Ring on Vice?
No.
You can find them on YouTube. It's a good show to watch. It started off really awful this season, though. It started with Chris Benoit, two episodes on that, and just some awful, awful details that I didn't know. Then there was the Brawl for All.
Oh, the details get worse than they were already?
Yeah, dude. Now I told Elise that maybe I just didn't pay attention, but like he had. Damn it! I don't want to mess this up, but he killed Nancy first, and essentially he broke her back.
Oh.
Yeah. So he breaks her back, and then Daniel's still around. And then, as we all know, he put the crossface, or they said he choked him out. Well,
Yeah.
yeah. So he was there with, like, Nancy decomposing. Not decomposing all day, but,
Yeah.
that sort of stuff.
It's
So.
still yeah, I'll never forget that just because we were down at Disney that time for family vacation, and I remember you texting me going, "Chris Benoit is dead." And then, if I was like, "Oh, that sucks." But I'm like, "What am I gonna do? Like, I'm in the middle of Disney World. Like, I'm not gonna start mourning in the middle of I guess I could have, but." And then you followed up like 5 minutes later going, "I'm not joking." And I'm like, "Why the fuck would I think you're joking? Like, you just said someone died. Like, why would that be a joke?" Oh. Jeez. Good old Chris Benoit. What else has gone down on Dark Side of the
Yeah,
Ring?
sorry. Someone didn't know the mute button was on, so
Oh.
fucking A. Yeah, sorry. No. It's not a show if it doesn't happen. So that's why I'm like, why aren't you answering? Like, what's the weirdness going on here? And I look, I'm like, cool. All right. So anyways, yeah, no, I texted you that, but yeah, like, and especially if someone texts you telling you a wrestler died, especially in that time frame, it was like, yeah, of course I believe what you just said. Like,
Oh
why wouldn't you?
yeah, especially since that was the there's a wrestler dying every other, because
Yeah.
what was the Opie and Anthony joke that they couldn't go 3 months without a wrestler dying or
No, they
something?
couldn't go a month. I think it was a month for a while, if I remember that right. Yeah, it was terrible. But yeah,
Yeah.
so they did that. I'm trying to, there were some other details like so it started with Eddie Guerrero because they said that's when the spiral really started, and they went into the history of him and woman. I'm sorry, him and Nancy. I knew her as a woman, but they actually go into her background when she was in Florida with Kevin Sullivan,
Oh, okay.
and like they do Kevin Sullivan stuff, but he didn't want to be on the show, so
Oh, I
that's why
don't
he's not part
blame
of it.
them.
Well, there's pretty inflammatory stuff about him in it. But
Oh.
then he was on the Jim Cornette podcast, and he goes, and even Jim Cornette was like, the time frame of what they're saying doesn't make sense. And that's one of my issues with this show. You're presenting things as fact, but yet you're changing and messing with history. So if you're presenting everything as fact, you can't get dates wrong. You can't move things that happened historically. You can't move them around to fit your narrative. Like, because it automatically diminishes what you're saying.
Yeah.
Anyways, but there was like some abuse allegations. But yeah, he's like, he choked out Dan. He was look. He looked up. This gets dark. So after he killed Daniel, he was actually looking up, like, Bible verses on how to raise Daniel from the dead.
Oh.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. And then they talked about William Regal's not in it, but they showed like the William Regal thing.
What happened with.
Okay, you
I
remember when they
don't.
did the tribute show, and they had everyone going, "Oh my God, I'm so upset." This and this, and Regal came on. If you watch it, and it was weird at the time, but you just figured, well, he's not that emotional of a guy. This is his way of dealing with it. He goes, And it was basically, I don't know a lot, but I definitely know this. Chris Benoit will go down as one of the greatest technical wrestlers that ever lived. That's pretty much all he said. And as it turns out, he lived near him. So he, I guess, Benoit was like, there were accusations of him abusing her before all this.
Okay.
And like, she tried leaving him, then she took him back, and I guess Regal must have known some stuff. And so I guess her dying and all this, maybe he just knew something.
But
it's not fun, dude. That was how they started the season. And then they had Brawl for All, then they had which was just a cluster. it's well worth watching. I mean, all these shows, especially on the YouTube, they're only 45 minutes long without commercials. It's cool. They had David Schultz, you know, the whole thing with him slapping John Stossel, who deserves it.
Saw that running around Twitter. The gif of him slapping him.
What else was there? Jimmy Snuka.
Oh.
That's a messed up one. That's where you're like, wow, okay. And meaning, like, Vince paying people off in theory or supposedly to get him off. Yes, yeah. It's dirty shit. And then I can't remember what Dino Bravo about how he went. This week's was fun to an extent because it was about the the Herb Abrams UWF shit. Yeah, UWF. Oh. So that the belt would say FU because it would have UWF. Then on the other side, a UWF. Instead of like going UWF and FUW,
uh-huh.
It would say FU because he tried all this stuff. But then they're getting into Owen Hart, they're going to do, which can't be fun. And then I guess they're doing, and then next week is the Road Warriors.
Yeah, I mean,
so
none of them.
It's very worth watching.
Yeah, none of them sound like a whole lot of fun.
No, the last season's ended with the Von Erichs. And it was only an hour show. And I'm like, this should have been a 5-part show. I mean,
yeah, one per Von Erich that died? 1 hour per Von Erich?
That's a good joke, dude. But that is some rough shit, man.
I guess it was kind of a joke, but seriously, like, three of them that died?
No, four.
Four? Yeah, how?
Fritz, Carrie, David, Chris. Wait, no, there's another one. Who was you? David was first, then Carrie. Or was it Chris, then Carrie? Michael?
So it was partial joke, partial just reality. Like, I mean, you're right. Like, that's too much information to try to cover in an hour. Like, to have that many people die, like, unless it's based, you know, there's not more of a story to tell.
Oh, I'm sorry. Five of his six sons. So
brutal, man.
So the Jesus Christ. I'm trying to see. It's. I don't want. All right, I'll go ahead. Fuck it.
Yeah, because I don't. I honestly, like, I remember Carrie. I don't really remember the other brothers too much. Like, I know that I saw a couple of them wrestle, but it was kind of in a limited fashion.
Yeah, no, Carrie killed him. I think they all killed themselves except for David. I think he overdosed. Even though they tried saying it was like pneumonia or something.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, that's what I've always thought with the Von Erichs, man. Like, you're Kevin. You are literally the last in your family. Now, I know there are kids, like Lacey Von Erich, that's Carrie's daughter. You know, Kevin's got his two kids who are wrestling. I don't know about David, but the other two didn't have any. And it just all right. Nah, that's a little too close. But just imagine being the last of your siblings because they either died, or I'm sorry, they overdosed, whatever,
yeah,
or killed themselves. Just imagine that. Like, how do you, like, they always show Kevin Von Erichs in Hawaii. And I was like, that's pretty much as far away as you can get from Texas, right? From, and still be technically in the United States.
Yeah.
He lives in the middle of nowhere in a, like, a Hawaiian jungle of a forest, whatever they want to call it.
Oh.
And he's always talking about being peaceful, and it's like, okay. I mean, if that's what it takes, I'm not judging you at all.
No.
Just know you're stirred up in the same stuff they were, and you made it and they didn't. Just like, oof, that'd be.
Yeah, like I don't even know how I'd react to one, more or less five, you know.
Mm-hmm. Five sounds wrong, so I don't think this is correct, but whatever. So I still think it's four, but yeah,
four is still a lot.
Yeah, I know. But I was trying to actually be accurate for a change. So, yeah. But yeah, now his kids are wrestling. So, and they've got the charisma of Kevin. So, and not to disparage him, but Kevin was always cool because he wrestled barefoot to me.
Oh.
But Kerry was like the man. So, okay. So there was Jack. Jack. That must have been the dad. Yeah, that was Jack. Okay. So there's Kevin, then there was David, Kerry, Mike, and Chris. All right, it was Mike. Yeah. They're all dead.
Yowzers. Well,
just what a
yeah, I mean, I guess that's why they call it the dark side of the ring. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you could do
it leaves you feeling icky after you watch some of them. Like, the Chris Benoit stuff, like, we were both looking at her, she's like, do you want to keep watching this? Because she was pretty affected, especially when it came to the kid stuff. I mean, and then when they said that he essentially broke her back, I was like, what? Yeah. Just awful. Just terrible. It's terrible. So.
Yeah. It is always one of those things, too, that I guess I try to. And I've kind of talked about it, and maybe we'll get around to wrestling, maybe we won't. But, like, the people, I've always made fun of the people that are reviewing AEW and NXT at the same time. And at 10 o'clock hits, and they're like, oh, we're doing a full review on both shows. And I'm like, you couldn't have possibly watched both. And that's kind of my point, is that I'm kind of, at least the stuff that I've been working on for Stunt Granny as a whole, I can't process trying to make up some art project and then trying to be paying attention to a documentary that's on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I just can't. Like, I'm either going to pay attention to what I'm doing or I'm going to pay attention to the documentary, and I can't do both. And, like, I don't think you can watch both wrestling shows at the same time. You might kind of get an idea of what's going on in both, but you're always going to miss some talking point, especially in the process. And, yeah, it's something that if I pull those up, because even right now I'm watching old AIW on independentwrestling.tv, and I can watch that without sound, and it's not going to change anything, especially since this stuff happened in 2008 and is not terribly relevant now. I mean,
that is one thing when we're done, we have to talk about off the air.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because this is just funny because watching a very young Johnny Gargano and Tyler Black was what I was watching at the beginning of when we started the show.
Yeah. I've been keeping up with wrestling. I'm Raw, whatever. They've gotten away from everything that was driving me crazy, so that was nice. But it's just so stale. Like, that environment, Raw, and to NXT to a certain degree as well, like, the Raw SmackDown NXT situation with the crowd, the lack of crowd in the presentation is just stale. Like, no matter how good the action may be in the ring, I'm so distracted by how quiet it is.
Oh.
And like the announcers are whatever, but like
Yeah.
that, like this week, the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders, that was a hell of a match. That was really good. That needed a crowd though, because the
Oh.
whole point was the Street Profits are finally going to beat him, and I'm like, I hope they don't. And I like the Street Profits,
Oh,
but
right.
the better story is them losing, and they lost, and it was like, I'm just, and I just imagined it in my head, like that audience being like, oh, really? You
Yeah,
know?
that was one where I guess I'm half annoyed because, whoever wins the tag team championships, they're like, oh, okay, your push is over, and they're off TV. And then they're like, well, we've got to build up the next tag team to take on this tag team. And then they pay attention to that team for a couple of weeks, and then, the tag team champions show back up, and then they lose automatically. Like, I agree with you that it's the better story is to have the Street Prof. Well, A, I thought it was a championship match on Monday.
I did too.
So
But
when they ended up saying, oh, this was non-title after the Viking Raiders won, I'm like, oh, okay, this makes more sense.
it does, but at the same time, like, I never understood non-title matches,
Oh.
especially when I don't think they ever got their championship. They ever got a rematch, did they?
No, because that was part of their talking point,
Okay. So it
was
doesn't make
that,
any sense.
yeah, that they never got a singles match. They lost the titles in the three-way to the, oh, not, they didn't lose,
No, the
no, they
Rollins
lost
and
them to
Murphy.
Rollins and Murphy, never got a rematch against them, except for the three-way. That's what it was. Yeah, because they only got the one rematch, but it was in the three-way, and the Street Profits won the three-way. So, yeah, but I do feel like the Viking Raiders brought up all the times that they really haven't gotten a true rematch for the tag team titles since losing them.
Yeah, so to me, like, that should have been a title match. And even if the
Yeah.
Street Profits lose, I would have been okay with that. And then build it up over the, hey, this is all fantasy booking, I know, but it's like build it back up over the summer. And then be like, okay, SummerSlam, if there's a crowd, who knows? Then have like, and this is going to go with NXT as well, and even AEW. And I understand the context of what we're doing, what we're in right now. Like, that's, although in Florida, they're another one that they're allowing live audiences again.
Oh.
But it's like, I'm gonna do like a big picture idea here in using some of these. But it's like, some moments need to have that crowd. Some things need that extra, like, oh my God. Like the Gauntlet match on Raw didn't need a crowd. No one cares anyways. Like, I know how that sounds, but sure.
'Cause what was that? I'm trying to remember what the gauntlet stip was.
Getting the Money in the Bank.
Oh, well, yeah, just because that, and Chris and I talked about it on 566, the men's Money in the Bank is just, not that all the wrestlers are in it are trash necessarily, but I don't, like, there isn't one of those guys that's just like, oh, I really hope that guy gets the briefcase because that, they'll probably end up winning the championship. Like, there's no one there like that. Like, could I enjoy AJ Styles with a briefcase? Sure. Do I care if he has it? Really? No. Like,
I
he.
care if Otis won. I mean, dead serious. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, well, he's the only. Him and Aleister Black are the only two with some type of appeal to me. But even them, like, as much as I've liked the Otis storyline, and I think Aleister Black is. Done the best with what they've given him. But there's still not one of those guys that I'm just like, oh man, I'm really hot for that guy to. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just the no crowd. Because this was another one. This week's AEW, they're like, oh, we're observing, you know, social distancing. And then I see like 12 guys outside of the ring who yeah. are all shoulder to shoulder. And I'm just like.
Well, don't forget the backstage brawl. There were people following those guys. They were right next to each other the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, no, I'm with you. No, it's.
But I mean, I do like that. Like, their wrestlers are giving it an ambiance, which helps immensely. And the performance, like, I guess that's the other thing that's killing me is that they're using. AEW is using, like, this makeshift facility for, you know, shooting wrestling. And the WWE literally has that. And they own it. And, like, you could have a guy or a gal in every fourth seat or something, even in the performance center.
Yeah.
And they don't do it. And it's just like, God, like, yeah. It's one of those things, it's just like, there's a medium between what AEW is doing and what the WWE is doing that wouldn't make me heebie-jeebie about the whole situation. Like, because I don't know who I talked to about, but that performance center probably fits like 1,000 to 1,500 people.
Now, all right, you're mixing it up. Full Sail is the bigger one. The performance center is the smaller one.
Does the Full Sail only fit like 1,000 people?
Yeah, Full Sail's where they usually have the show. That's where they're recording all these shows right now. That's Full Sail. Remember when they had like NXT Appreciation Night or whatever, and Gargano and Ciampa like destroyed the PC?
That's
the PC center, or where Orton and Edge had that thing.
Well, they still have physical. I guess maybe the main point is they still have physical seats there,
right? Yeah.
That they can fill, and I get whatever. Like, I guess I feel like it's bigger because. I guess it is about that number, maybe about 1,500 or so that fit in the. And I know I've talked about it before. I'm trying to think of what the hell it's called now, but I almost called it Star Lake Amphitheater, which is way wrong. Lifestyle Pavilion, where NXT runs here in Columbus. And I would say that that's probably 1,500. So the Performance Center is maybe 500 then. But they still, again, they have physical seats, and they could have people in those seats. Hell, fill it with the people that aren't going to be on TV that week, because we know you have plenty of those people.
No, I was going to say, fill it with the new recruits. Oh. Like, people you don't even know are in NXT. They have like 150 athletes. There's a lot of people.
Oh, wow. Yeah. In the Performance Center. And you don't even need that 150.
And obviously you don't force them to be there, but be like, hey, you want to be on TV? Yeah, it's funny you got... You read my mind on this one. That's exactly where I was going, too, is that's all they need. They need something else out there.
Oh, because yeah.
It is jarring to watch a match with no sound like that. I mean, I will say they're much more creative in covering up their calling spots.
Oh, I've noticed
that. Because when they first were doing this no crowd thing, oof, it was rough. But, AEW got that cornered. And they even have some people, like whoever Pineapple Pete is, whoever the hell that guy is. I mean, God bless him, making a name for himself now. But he's in the crowd. I'm like, okay. And this is kind of funny. Shahid pointed this out when we watched stuff. Are all the black wrestlers jobbers? And why are they all in Florida?
Oh, for AEW?
Even WWE, some of them. Like, well, Leon Ruff is from Evolve. But, yeah.
I don't know.
All the guys, black guys.
Well, that made me think of another tweet that someone's like, oh, are black people only allowed to hang out in groups of two? And the first thing I thought to myself was, Did you forget about New Day already?
Well, that's only a group of two right now.
But it's really a group of three.
Yeah, well, yeah, whenever.
I mean, we all know
what's
that.
What's the context of that tweet, though? I'm confused on that one.
Private Party. Because since you were talking about AEW and all the black guys being jobbers, and, you know, Private Party got that big win against the Young Bucks and to start off that tag team tournament and have done absolute, like,
all seconds, yeah.
Yeah, they've done nothing since then. Like, I've enjoyed pretty much every match that I've seen them in on TV, but what they've actually done is been next, like, that stuff, their videos from home were cracking my shit up the last couple of weeks.
I can't remember their friend's name, but the guy is always like, are you referring to Being the Elite?
I'm sorry, yeah, they were on Being the Elite.
Yeah. And they, did you see this week? He's like, guys, it's me. He's like, who the hell are you? It's like, you're in my house. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's simple stuff like that. It just made me laugh. Like, but yeah, it's, you know, they've done fuck all with those guys, which I understand because they're still pretty green, but they should have never beaten the Young Bucks.
Oh.
And there's a lot of problems with AEW, the way they do stuff, and it's being glossed over right now. Like, okay, so going into Double or Nothing, it's another main event with two WWE guys. Like, right off the bat.
Yeah, and
Kenny Omega talking about how he wants to, you know, he always wants to make everybody else look good, and he's going to work himself up to be a big star. And it's like, that's not why this got started in the first place. You were a big star to the people watching your show, and you are literally just somebody else now on the show. And the Bucks are the same way. I mean, I get it that they want to be humble and they don't want to look like they're just promoting themselves, but you're the reason this exists. So put yourself as the big stars. And then when someone beats you, they become the bigger star. Which I don't know how they don't know that. But
I don't know, because Chris and I went at length about the Kenny Omega situation, about how much he's screwed himself up, and even a little bit about the Young Bucks on the last show. And yeah, like, they all should have been stars, and for some reason they're not stars in their own company. Like, yeah, it's one thing to try to not look like you're favoring yourself. It's another thing to go, oh, we're actually big stars, and we should be promoting ourselves as such. And there's just a truth to that.
Yes, and I don't think anybody in that company would have complained if out of the gate. Now, you can argue Jericho is, you know, Jericho got a lot of eyes, so him winning the title would be fine.
Yeah.
But you can't say, like, anyone in that company would be like, I mean, these guys just won all the titles. But yes, we're the money right now. And it's like, and not even like in that, like, not even being a dick about it, but like, yes, we're the money. So we bring it in, you make some off of us, and then we help make you guys. Like, that's how this is going to work, guys.
That's how wrestling has always worked.
yes. It's like, you don't take, like, all right, so imagine WCW way back when, they bring in Hulk Hogan. You know, they have the parade for him, and they do all this stuff. Hogan comes in and immediately loses to, I don't even know who the hell was in there at the time.
Let's just say Sting. It's a good guess.
No, Sting would have been all right. But, like, all right, Arn Anderson. No offense to Arn, but he was never a top guy there.
Oh, right.
But, I mean, so he comes in and loses to Arn Anderson. He's like, well, you know, I just wanted to be humble and show that I'm not going to be. No, you're the money. People pay to see you win. People pay to see you. And, like, the Bucks are, like, and I think that was one of my problems with when I went to that show. The big stars didn't wrestle or weren't there until the very end. And it's like, I know you're making a new company and or, you know, helping create a new company. And right now, no one knows who Private Party is. SCU, okay. Joey Janela, yes, you've got all these guys, Orange Cassidy, Best Friends, all that. I'm not saying anything disparaging about them as performers, people, nothing. But when it comes to popularity, how many Orange Cassidy Funkos were there? Zero. Let's just go with a basic example like that.
Right.
The Young Bucks and all of the Elite had theirs. And I know it's a very dumb example. But it just shows you. Like, there's no Best Friend stuff. There's no SCU. Now there is.
Oh, right.
But, no. And that's... And, like, JR bitching this week about people saying, where's Kenny Omega from New Japan? He's right here, folks. And then he loses. And I go, no, he's not.
Yeah. He would have some type of backup.
Yeah. And also, when is AEW going to start getting called out for being TNA?
How do you mean?
TNA would have hardcore matches. They would have ladder matches. They have all this stuff for no reason. Right? And we always be like, there's no long-term booking here. Like, that should be the end of something. So what do? They keep having, like, Moxley can barely wrestle a match where it's not hardcore rules. Like, he did this week, and I guess he kind of did with Jericho. But then this week they have a very entertaining brawl, so I'm not going to take away from that. But they had a street fight. Why? These guys have never wrestled before.
It still drives me bananas, and I probably go the other direction too easily when I'm bitching about it, but it's another one of those ones where just even a couple of years ago when New Japan was the only thing people could talk about, people are just like, oh, AEW is so much better than WWE. But then I'm like, you guys just like the new thing. Like, you guys just like the fact that it's not WWE. Yeah. Like, it's not that it's good. You know, like, there are definitely some problems. Like, you guys are not pointing out the flaws like that one. It's just like, you guys are politely looking over that. Because it's just like, yeah, like, it's Matt Hardy. Like, they even said it during the broadcast. This is Matt Hardy's first match in AEW.
Yes.
And it's
no history with Kenny Omega. He has history with the Bucks. That's it. And the Bucks aren't even there. So, I'm not going to accept the excuse that it's because of this pandemic or the way things are. They were doing dumb shit like this before. And so they'll always make these. We're gonna show different styles. No, you're not. You're trying to get people. You're trying to get eyes on the product. But then it doesn't make any sense long term. And I just expected better from them. I'm not saying the shows are entertaining because personally, and I've told you, I watch AEW live, not NXT.
Oh.
And it's gotten better from the beginning, but. It's such like a smorgasbord or a hodgepodge of a show that they always say there's long-term booking. Okay. And then the first match, it's a street fight or whatever. I'm like, what?
The first match?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know they've had like some, they've had a tag match here and there.
Oh, that, okay. I was thinking you meant the first match of the show.
No. I don't even remember the first match of the show.
Well, that was still another one that to me was kind of random ass with Cody Rhodes taking on Joey Janela.
That was all on Twitter or something like that. It was all social media stuff.
Oh.
He wanted a warm-up match, whatever else. Okay. But again, like, is that the best use of Joey Janela? I mean, I guess you're showing that... Okay, and this is... another problem. You're showing that Joey Janela can wrestle. It's not a hardcore match, so that was a positive, to be honest. And that, you know, Cody beat him. Here's the problem. Joey Janela is known as a hardcore wrestler. He's not known as a wrestler. So he gets in the ring and he hangs with Cody in a wrestling match. Absolutely not. Cody should have out-wrestled him. Joey should have got some hope spots in, and then Cody beats him. Why? Because it wasn't a hardcore match, and Joey Janela's not used to it. That's the story of that match. That's not what they told you.
Well, and I mean, we were just talking about it too. Like, Janela and Jimmy Havoc, both known for, you know, their wild brawls in the independents, and they've barely been in any wild brawls in AEW. Like, aside from, was it Moxley and Janela had a match?
Yeah.
A hardcore match? And I feel like Havoc had a three-way hardcore match that might have involved Janela too.
Possibly. Like, they do the AEW After Dark matches, so they'll have some stuff on there. But, yeah, the less I see Jimmy Havoc, the better. I just don't like him. Whatever. But
Yeah, he's just...
He doesn't grip me at all.
Yeah, he's just kind of whatever. Like, I guess I don't actively hate him, but...
Oh, no, of course not.
I don't care either.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's the other thing, and I don't think I've ever brought this up. Everything is equal on the show. Unless it's some guy, you're like, who is this? And Lance Archer kills him. Or Brody Lee destroys him. But every match is competitive. No! There's an upper echelon and there's a lower echelon. That's how it works. So if you're going to mix people in, yes, there's a way to make them look good by making them look bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they could use... I guess now that you're talking about it, they kind of have a parody problem themselves.
Yes.
Like it's a different one than the WWE.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where the WWE has too much bottom and too much top with nothing in between.
Yeah.
And AEW is basically like everything's in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay, this is a problem too, people.
Yes. The top guys don't act like top guys. They don't come out and just decimate somebody. And I don't mean squash matches. Like I didn't expect Cody to come out squash Joey Janela. I expected him to out-wrestle him and beat him. That's your story. And then later on, Joey Janela, if he wants to, be like, you know what? I tried this wrestling thing. Maybe I'm not that good. He can't beat me in a hardcore match. That's where you have the match where they're even. You know, because any idiot can hit somebody with something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that you can have it be, you can have it go, and then even like Joey Janela doesn't always win his hardcore matches, but and it's not just that match, but that was just like the icing to me on some of this stuff. Like, okay, like Lance Archer and Marco Stunt. I know you don't want to just kill Marco Stunt, but sorry, if you're Lance Archer, you kill Marco Stunt. Brody Lee had a better match with Marco because Marco got like two moves in. And then Brody destroyed him, which is what should happen when a guy that's 6'9" is facing a guy that's 4'11", or whatever he is.
Right.
And, like, where are you with Lance Archer? Not like his match this week or anything, but just in general.
I started to like him better in New Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Do think that there's a dumb element to the claw, but I do also like he started to adjust it even in New Japan, where he started laying his knee on the guy's chest.
Yes.
As he did, I'm like, okay, now you have me. Like, because that just looks plain nasty, when basically your knee is almost across the guy's throat, and you're keeping his shoulders down. Just to have him down off of a claw is fucking dumb.
I also think a claw is a dick move. Because he has a finisher, then he puts that claw on.
Oh.
And, I mean, the one thing I don't like is how he comes out and just punches somebody. I mean, that's just dumb.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But whatever. And, no, when I saw him this week, I can't remember who he fought. Oh, QT Marshall.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is that nepotism to the nth degree? QT Marshall has – I have a better physique than QT Marshall does. And if I had the plugs, I'd have better hair. Like, it's – Why is he on TV, especially if he's part of the Natural Nightmares? Are you kidding me? Anyways.
Well, the thing that bothers me more is that they presented him as a non-wrestler.
Yes.
And I'm just like, no, I've seen this guy in Ring of Honor. Like, I think he's okay. Like, I am so confused why you're presenting him as just an agent, but then you're running him out there on a nearly weekly basis to wrestle.
Yeah, because he hasn't wrestled in a few years, I guess, because of injury. He wasn't cleared. I mean, and then they've kind of forgotten about that, and now they want to make him like a real wrestler. It's like, that's not how this works.
I had no idea why he disappeared off of Ring of Honor. I guess I know now.
Yeah, it was during when they were doing like Road to AEW or whatever it was. Okay. They were talking about all that stuff. But, no, it... With Lance Archer, I'm glad we're on the same page here, because, yeah, I remember him in TNA, and I was like, oof. And then I totally forgot he was in WWE.
Oh, yes. Yeah, someone showed a picture of him. Was it him against Cody?
Maybe.
Or maybe it was him against Dean Ambrose.
No. This is the old ECW. The ECW WWE.
Well, then maybe it was Cody, because I want to say that the picture that I saw was from 08 or something like that, because he was wrestling one of the other wrestlers that's in AEW now. And I can't, but anyway, yeah, I really don't remember him being in the WWE.
Yeah, he was Vance Archer. He left TNA, went there. Yeah. But no, I started getting with you. I was like, I wasn't too crazy about him in New Japan. I'm like, this is kind of weird. I guess because the last time I saw him was Lance Hoyt. And I'm like, I'm supposed to take Lance Hoyt seriously? And then you see him and you're like, wow, that guy's really, he looks way bigger now. And then I saw him at the New Japan show here. He was on the show.
He came
out, and he's legit scary. You're like, holy shit, he's like, it's the uncaged guy. He came out, punched every single one of the young lions that was standing around ringside, got in the match, destroyed whoever he was wrestling. People were trying to, like, shit-talk him and, like, goof with him. He was having none of it. I mean, he is in character the whole time. So when he comes out here, I was like, okay, he doesn't need Jake the Snake with him. I don't understand why they brought in Jake the Snake.
Because he was available. It doesn't do anything for the gimmick. Especially when they did the Snake thing. Brandi Rhodes' promo this week was probably her best in AEW. Because she got away from that Nightmare Collective shenanigans or whatever. Because I don't know. The names are so close because they keep using Nightmare that I can't keep track of which version of Nightmare that they're on. But, yeah, she's better than she was. And, yeah, the whole... Well, and we kind of missed it, and I'm just going to go straight to it. You're talking about the Snake thing being an 80s thing and how they were handling it. Like, yeah. And this is something, like, you kind of mentioned that you thought that that the Snake might bite her. That would be pretty weird. Having owned a snake at this point, unless they're that hungry, they're not really going to strike out at you unless you do something really dumb. And considering
self-defense, that's what I was getting at.
But she wasn't moving.
No. No. And that goes back to what I was talking about, like the way they were handling it.
Oh.
I mean, Jake was like flinging it like a rope almost. I'm like, dude, that thing's alive, by the way. Unless it was gimmicked and it was like an incredible gimmick snake, but I don't think it was. So.
Oh yeah,
But no, like what I was saying is like it's 80s because like the way we're handling it, like what are you doing?
Yeah, they do seem to love to go back to the older tropes that the WWE tends to stay away from. I feel like, and
Yeah.
The whole snake gimmick feels, you know, a little 80s-y, obviously, for
oh, yeah.
Very clear reasons. But
it's also
yeah.
just not necessary.
Like, no, like, they've done a good job, and I guess that's the other thing that's weird about it, is they've done a good job from the start of this tournament was when Jake Roberts, or right before the start of the tournament, Jake Roberts and Lance Archer came, you know, they're like, we're coming for you, Cody. And they set up a tournament with them on opposite parts of the bracket. And you've kind of built to this, and it's like, well, why is it necessary? Like, both of them had their warm-up matches. We had enough story last week with Dustin Rhodes and Cody not throwing in the towel for him.
Yeah.
Like, what more is there to do? Like, yeah, why does she need the snake on her? And, well, I mean, there's just kind of something ironic, too, about the fact that they're bringing that there, and Florida has a problem with those types of snakes because people have let them in the loose and they're just completely destroying the ecosystem because they're eating everything except for alligators.
See, I thought that, to get off on a side note here, I thought like a few years ago they had that really cold winter and it killed off almost all of them.
Oh, I don't keep track of Florida that much, so if that's the case.
Yeah. I just thought that was a fascinating story, so I actually read about it, and they had like an unusually cold winter, and I guess a lot of them, yeah, that was it. They took care of a lot of them. Now, it doesn't mean they aren't just back again, but.
Oh.
Florida's a weird place.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But, yeah, no, it's that's all with like Vance Archer. I just don't think that he needs Jake the Snake. When you're called the Murder Hawk, do you need someone to talk for you? Like, why? You know? And Lance Archer can talk.
Well, and I do really hope that it's you know, New Japan just has the rights, because the fact that they have to call him the Murder Hawk Monster now, I'm like, that is just one word too many. Murder Hawk is completely great. If it's just if it's due to the fact that New Japan has Murder Hawk, you know, trademarked or whatever, which kind of seems weird. Like, I don't feel like they've trademarked pretty much anything else.
Well, maybe they're starting to now.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe they're starting to now because they have people leaving, but.
Yeah. No, it's him, and then also on the other one, I know we've been going for a while, but the other one I wanted your opinion on was Karrion Kross's debut.
It was there, and because did he even, like, this is how bad it was. Did he even have a match?
Yeah, he beat the shit out of Leon Ruff.
Oh, okay.
And
because I mean, that's, I was like, I remember the entrance being really cool. Love that, because I kind of called it an Amy Lee Evanescence style entrance.
Yeah.
And I'm up for that kind of thing. Like, it's kind of in my wheelhouse of music, so.
What'd you think of Scarlett lip-syncing it, though?
Sure. It's Scarlett, so I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, she's hot as hell. But I thought it was weird she was coming down to the ring singing it, and then even got in the ring as if
she was the one
singing it.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm all for it. If like you're into the song, you're like singing along as your man's coming out. He's gonna beat some ass, and you're like all for it.
Yeah.
But then it was like part of the act that like she's singing the song to the camera, and I just thought that was very strange.
I think it was almost, yeah, her singing was kind of strange. But the fact that she was the first one out, or mostly the first one coming to the ring, and then the first one in the ring and on camera more than Karrion Kross, I'm like, I'm not obviously arguing, but it's just like he's making his debut. Like, you should really be featuring him on the camera more than her, you know, okay. for right now.
See, I would agree with you on that, but they have made a point of saying they are both coming. Like, that is a package deal. So as much as he's going to do, I get the feeling she's in there just as much as he is. Because let's face facts here. Look at her.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah. Like, that was one. Even though I had to tolerate her wrestling Disco Inferno, I got to watch her wrestle. And that's not a bad. And really, she's. I don't think she's probably as athletically gifted as probably at this point, like 75% of the women's roster in the WWE. So she has her work cut out for her.
Yeah. But that's also a great place to be.
Yes.
So, although, and not to go back towards the AEW, but they still got to work in that women's division. Anyways, we'll go back to NXT now. If you're going to be in a women's division, NXT and Impact Wrestling are the places to be.
Oh.
To get experience, to get in the ring with good people. I'd like to say NWA, but I got Marty Bell, Allison Kay, and Thunder Rosa. And I know Camille's now starting, but she's pretty green too. So, you know, it's... That's just a good spot for, especially being able to work out at the performance center, and then getting a gigantic push like that. Like, I've seen Killer Cross before. Am I just not getting it? Like, I don't. What's the big deal? And again, I'm just not seeing it. So maybe I need it explained.
Guess that's one of those things where I kind of like him, but it's also one of those things where there's so much death talk that I just...
Oh, God, yes.
I just kind of tap out on a lot of that stuff, because it's just like, you can say it as many times as you want. I know that someone's not going to get murdered on wrestling.
Yes.
Like,
or having the announcers talk about his demonic presence, I'm like... Where? What are you talking about? It was a rough week for Beth Phoenix. Let's just put that out there.
Oh, well, and that was the one thing that we probably don't need to get to, but probably could. No. That announcing situation on NXT seems completely unreasonable to me, because they have not shown Beth Phoenix on TV, they have not shown Mauro Ranallo on TV, and Tom Phillips is sitting there by himself at the Performance Center or Full Sail, wherever they're taping it. And it really does feel like there's just three people doing a show. One of them's actually there, and two of them are on Zoom.
Yeah. Yeah, or whatever, Skype, whatever.
Yeah, Skype, whatever. Well, oh, yeah, that's right. They've had Skype on the Titantron, so I'm sure that they're not using Zoom for branded reasons.
Yeah, true. But no, it's just when it comes to him, I mean, okay, I've seen him like in MLW, Impact, of course. And I'm like, okay, he's good, but okay.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I guess that's the problem that I have. There's too much death and destruction and mayhem for it to really be done in any wrestling format. Like, you're not the Doomsday Clock or whatever you're trying to, you know, trying to purport yourself to be. Like,
yeah.
Okay, like, I guess we'll see what happens, but I mean, they have it, and I guess that's the other weird thing, is they almost have him and Dexter Lumis are almost doing the same character at the same time.
Dexter Lumis, I can't wait for the reveal that he's stalking Velveteen Dream. Because that's where it's going to take a turn. You're going to be like, wait, what? Because that's what he is. And Dexter Lumis 1 is the dumb name. Sam Shaw was a much better name.
Oh, but anyways, yeah.
I didn't get it in TNA. And then near, like, after a while, I'm like, oh, this guy's psycho. All right, I'm kind of digging this. Because I thought he was supposed to be like a Dexter sort of thing.
Oh, right.
And he's not. And then I saw him in NWA matches where he was making a painting in the ring while his opponent was entering. And it was pretty cool. I'm like, oh, all right, this guy's just a psycho, obsessive weirdo. Okay. But, so that's where those two are going to go. And then, like, that'll be the difference, I think you'll see.
Oh, but then, yeah.
I don't get, like, the Karrion Kross, they're not going to let him do Killer. But, one, it's just a wait and see. Cause it's week one. You don't really know too much. But two, that was something that needed a crowd. It needed a crowd. It needed a longer entrance ramp because that is a big entrance.
Oh, yeah. You know
what I mean? And that's what it deserved. And, I mean, just right now, you're not going to get it. And I know we got to go, but debuting wrestlers should not be debuting right now.
Oh.
Brody Lee should have never been introduced. Matt Hardy should have never been introduced. Karrion Kross, nope. No one new should be introduced right now. Because an introduction requires a crowd to react to it, to go apeshit for it, or boo, or do whatever. So that it gives you, and it gives the other audience who may not know who they are, an idea of what to expect, or what you should expect, or what you should do. When they come out like this badass entrance for Karrion Kross, you're like, oh, okay, the crickets didn't like it? Or, like, imagine Bray Wyatt, his original entrance. I'm sorry, the Fiend. The new song and the light and all that.
No fireflies out there.
Right. No one chanting holy shit or that was awesome after it. Imagine what a dud debut that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all pretty weird.
Yeah, it's like, be smarter.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling's in a weird spot anyway, since it's actually still going on. but, yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't know what you do with those type of guys, because, I mean, it's not like AEW, at least on Being the Elite, they were already hinting that the Revolt was coming.
Yeah. Someone needs to do a little research. I feel bad for the Revolt. And not the Revival. I feel bad for the Revolt. Because they've been wrestling around here since I moved here.
Oh.
The Indies and all that.
There's
and
another...
they got screwed. Hmm. So, you know, I mean, nothing can be done now, I guess. But, yeah, that's... And you can't use the fact that you didn't know because both you live in North Carolina. And they travel all through North, South, Georgia, all that. So,
yeah.
But whatever.
So they're turning into... They're pulling a Carlos Mencia as they move to AEW, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Well, stealing a name, at least. Not material, but...
Yeah, they are. They're stealing all the material from all the 70s wrestlers.
True. That's true. No, it's an homage, Kevin. That's what that is, but...
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But such a fine line between homage and downright stealing.
Yeah, but... No, I'm looking forward to those guys being like the Revival in NXT again. So...
Oh.
Those guys, they were great.
So, yeah. That one, I don't... have that much of a problem with.
But again, don't debut them. Do not debut them. Well, they can't until July, I guess. But it's like, don't debut them to an empty arena. Because the second they do show up, people are going to be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I guess...
fans are not going to be happy.
Yeah, part of the problem, though, is that if they don't have any large groups through possibly the end of the year... Like, do you really sit on someone for another 8 months?
Yeah. No. You're right. But I guess it's not until July, but that's only 2 months right now.
Oh, right.
Well, if they do it in Florida, who knows? By then, you may be able to have a whole arena full of people. Who knows? But at least have some real fans.
Oh.
Even if it's 100 people.
Yeah, what? Oh.
Just not other wrestlers. Or, yeah, or bring in extras. Well, I guess it's kind of against the point, I guess, but... Bring in extras of, like, when those guys come, you boo like crazy, you get as mad as possible. Because we want them to be hated. So, although, never mind. It's late in the show. We could have done a 4-hour show today.
So, no kidding.
Well, I mean, look at how LAX has been treated. Or Santana and Ortiz.
Oh.
They should have come in and beaten SCU. Like, all right. I'm sorry I'm doing it. Anyways, Jericho has a title. They have the two tag titles. Swagger's the muscle, and Sammy Guevara's the up-and-comer. So, I know Jericho wouldn't have the title right now, but this TNT tournament, Sammy Guevara should have won it. They would have all the gold, and that's how you would have built something up for this War Games thing that's not really War Games that probably isn't going to happen for a long time. Not just forget about it, have everyone go off their own way, and then come back into it. Like, anyways, we can talk about that another day. So,
oh, fair enough. I guess I can talk belt on beer here, because we're just going to cut this thing off. Seven Sun Brewing baked Imperial Brownie Ale infused with cacao, vanilla, and coconut. I can tell you this is one of the more chocolatey beers that I have ever had. It was made in conjunction with Listerman Brewing in Cincinnati, which is a fine brewery in and of itself. One of my favorite Doppelbach beers is from them. And they've had a number of good Bach beers when I've gone down for Bach Fest in Cincy in early March. So if you happen to be in the Columbus or Cincinnati area and you can pick that up, I highly suggest it. Hey, at Stunt Granny, at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, we're actually on Google Podcasts, what is that called? Apple Podcasts.
iTunes.
iTunes, iHeartRadio. We're on all the platforms now.
Spotify.
So Spotify
is the big one, yes.
Yeah. So, and we should have a nice little new logo on there. We're hopefully coming up with some other new ones, or at least some refurbished ones. And, yeah, I think that about does it for me. I am out of here, grandkids.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Look for rewatch stuff next week, hopefully. We just got to figure out busy madman's schedule. So I have no sippy time beer with me. We've been drinking on a red clay cider out of Charlotte, North Carolina, a creme blueberry crumble, and then it's called Balancing Act. It's got lavender, something else, and cider. And it's really good, dangerously good, because it goes down like you're drinking something that has no alcohol flavor at all. And then you wake up with a headache and you go, God damn it, I did it again. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we'll get at you next time.